Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio. Journey with Grandmother Aliyah as she enters her magical world of relics, sacred sites, and ancient crystal skulls. Meet with exciting trailblazer authors and individuals shifting the consciousness of humanity. Send her your questions to be answered on air on her monthly segment, Ask the Oracle. And now your host, Grandmother Aliyah, in the sanctuary on the airwaves on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to Om Times Radio Circle of Hearts radio show. Every month I've dedicated the second Sunday to the water protectors or the environmental protectors or the defenders of the planet. Since October, when I got involved with Standing Rock, you know, we've seen it open many doors. It was a template. You know, we saw what worked, what didn't work, but what has evolved are people are being concerned about the water and the planet. Now, considering, you know, we're in a really difficult period with this world. You know, every time you look, you know, there's something going on, or, you know, many people are saying, you know, like, why even bother? We don't even know the world's going to exist. Well, I think it's a time that every soul on this planet needs to make a decision. Are you going to buy into all this negativity and fear, or are you going to actually choose to let's find some positive solutions? I've heard that many people involved in, you know, with the water healing and the protectors, you know, they've been faced with a lot of opposition. Well, this is a learning process. It's a matter of people coming together, many different ideas, and instead of wasting your time and saying what the people shouldn't be doing or how they should be doing it, use your own knowledge to add some positive creativity and say, okay, let's make sure this planet exists, because I firmly believe when we get through this, all this darkness and craziness, which is really a heads up to all the people on this planet that, you know, it's time to really do something. You're not looking to, you know, revolutionize against people or anything, but you're looking to make a stand and say, let's come together, let's find out solutions. So we're going to need this planet, and we're going to need the water, because this is our legacy for our future generations. Now, when I started these shows, it was with the intention of bringing on people who have something to offer in new ideas and educating and helping us move forward in our humanity. And the water protectors are very important. And today, I was waiting for Jim also, but you know, poor Nick is going to get, you know, stuck here for a while. But Nick Joseph is one who had decided he's going to do something. He's going to come up with some ideas and try to come up with some solutions. And he's not battling the world, or he's not, you know, let's go to arms here. He says, let's find a way to make some things right. Now, Nick, can you give us a little bit of what you're about and what your program is about? Well, you know, we'll start off with that.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on. That was a great intro. And yeah, certainly what I believe in, personal action. I'm here in Pittsburgh, born and raised here, and I became aware of what the fracking has been doing to our local area and our waterways. And every time you dig into it a little bit deeper and, you know, see the tons of chemicals and things that they were using and injecting into the ground and even dumping in our rivers, I'm going to employed with an organization, a national nonprofit environmental organization. I was an organizer and a fundraiser and trainer. And my job was to talk to thousands of our members in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and New England states. So I'd be very aware of the issues as they came up, and got people involved to take action themselves. And that's an important thing I learned there, is to not be so negative. I get the negativity away from us. I know we're up against some big corporations here with lots and lots of money, but it's remaining positive ourselves. That's why I really enjoyed your introduction. I felt called after 4 years of being with that organization to go to Standing Rock. Just very powerful call. I think for a lot of people felt that. And I didn't know what to expect, being that, I looked like somebody that, Caucasian American, I guess, that considering all the abuse the indigenous people have had throughout the number of years. But I was treated with nothing but love and warmth and kindness. And there's so much unity there amongst all the people. And it was just so beautiful, really moved me. And I just committed myself to continuing to be in service to that, and be in service to the water. One of the things that they talked about in Standing Rock a lot was the positive, being in prayer, what they were calling it, was just being a positive thought, positive emotion, and being in positive action. So as I looked for ways to continue to be of service, I saw what a number of activists down in Florida were working on when they were working with the Sable Trail Pipeline. And it really inspired me to go down there. So what they were doing, they were taking the initiative themselves to go out to the construction sites and actively identify, document, and report violations that the construction companies were committing environmental violations. And so I went down there to learn that, and continuing to do that.
I think there's a great majority, like you said, they're coming together. And I like the words in service, because that's really what we're going through, a period of people realizing it's not so much, our individual little worlds, but we're realizing, let's, instead of saying me, let's see what we can do to help. And this is why people who finally say, okay, I'm going to step up and, let's find a program. Let's come together. And this is happening. And you always have the few. And I think it's just because they're scared. They're still in that mentality of, well, the world's messed up. The world may blow up. They buy into so much fear, which is very reasonable. I mean, it does look scary, and you need to be able to step back sometimes. But like you said, you went and people have embraced the ideas. I know when Jim had mentioned occasionally that people were difficult. Do you think we can change the people around? I mean, maybe it's just a whole mentality we have to say, the world's not going to fall apart, and we need to take care of the earth so that when it stops falling apart, we still have an earth to work with.
I learned a long time ago. Yeah, I learned a long time ago through my activism. I went and I waved the signs and I went to the marches and I did all that. And I came to the kind of realization, we face such serious opposition that I can't change anybody else, but I can change myself. And by changing myself, we really do, change the whole world around us. And it's all about, it comes down to, again, being of positive thought, positive emotion and being in positive action, and like you said, making that choice, making that decision, where do you stand at this time? Do you stand for life, or do you stand for just apathy and let things play out the way somebody else wants them to play out? I choose to stand for life, and I choose in all my actions to be empowered, because I know if I'm joining in with a lot of amazing, powerful people in this whole big grand prayer right now, that we want this earth to continue, and we want to have more generations, and this is just a beautiful and amazing place. So we're going to fight for it. Peacefully, nonviolently.
I agree. Violence, I was thinking about that, actually, the word violence last week, because every time I put something on, you know, I'm going, what's happening now? You know, this is crazy. But I think that word is a basic wake-up call. And again, like you said, for people to say, all right, what do we want? You know, and to get people out of the feeling of victimhood, you know, that they have no choice. They do have this choice. In some talks that I have, I keep on telling people, you know, Gandhi had mentioned, be the change you want to see. And I agree fully. Mm-hmm. We can't fix people, but you can change yourself, and then it has a ripple effect. So mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of us doing this background work, or foundational work, of trying to get people to realize choice and, you know, helping evolve themselves, so that you on the next level is saying, okay, well, let's come up with the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll come back after this break.
Okay.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
I think, you know, we're back with Nick, and I really do think that Jim forgot the time difference. So we'll continue with you along. I think you met Jim and Sue down in Florida with Adam. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was going to say, did
you... Was there a question? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. You have an SOS, huh? Many people are starting to come together, and it's not just, I would say, people that are coming together with some creative ideas. So...
Mm-hmm.
I know he had one of the things he wrote on your gun... GoFund program was at a time when the government environmental agencies are being cut and defunded, water protectors have been standing up and volunteering to be the eyes and ears on the ground to fill the vacancy of the government inspectors. Are people willing to do this?
Yes. Down in Florida, people, just activists, volunteers, we weren't, you know, working for anybody, we weren't getting paid to do this, just seeing a need. Because as they come through, there are a lot of violations that are happening with constructions, little things like silt fences being down and the erosion and sediment getting into the water. Things like there was a diesel spill in Fort Drum Creek that they documented. And yeah, the government is, you know, they're supposed to have inspectors out there, but there's a hiring freeze in Washington, and they're just not out there on the ground. And we have to trust the word of the pipeline companies that they're complying with all the things that they said that they're going to do. So yeah, people have been on the ground in Florida, and that is probably one of the biggest things that we can do now to help Florida is to share the pictures that we got at the construction sites. There's a few websites that they're out on, like wecan.me. Plenty of documentation to show what's been happening in Florida. The wetlands of Florida have been drained. They're saying they're supposed to restore them. They're dumping sand, and it's the plants aren't growing back, and it's a very sad situation. It happened down in Florida, but yeah, people did step up in Florida, and they were teaching this. I went to a teaching camp in St. Cloud called Crystal Water Camp, where a man named Ron Reedy, who kind of figured out the process. He was teaching others to do it, and you learn everything from how to read their plat maps, where the construction's coming through, what to look for when we go to construction sites, the forms to fill out, and who to submit those to. We've been working with FERC, who's, you know, we know that they're the organization that kind of rubber stamping these projects, but have been very receptive to people, and they've asked us every time, keep these pictures coming, because I think John in Washington, he has like two people in his office there and had no idea what was happening in Florida, except for, you know, the pictures that we were sending them, like, look, this is what happened, because they're supposed to put plant native seeds and kind of restore the wetlands, but they're just haven't been doing the right things. So we've been making Washington aware of what's going on. And so my intent was to go down to Florida to learn the process of what these activists down there were already doing. And now we know that there's other pipelines in the works, especially all coming from Pennsylvania. That's where the extraction is happening, and they want to pipe this stuff. This Atlantic Pipeline project, they want to call them all different kinds of, you know, you got the Sable Trail, you got the Atlantic Pipeline, just like they're all different projects. But when you look on the map, they're all going to connect. And so they want to pipe the gas from Pennsylvania down the Atlantic coast to connect with the Sable Trail pipeline. And they're currently constructing a lot of liquefied natural gas ports in Florida to ship the gas to Europe and to China. So we got these next round of construction coming. So my goal is to activate and organize and train more volunteers in these various states where the pipelines are coming through to go out there and catch what these construction companies are doing.
Yeah, I think people would ask, you know, considering, and it's not really that I tried to get into politics, but considering that the present government has defunded anything environmental pretty much, that they say if we, you know, we approach Washington, are they actually listening? Are they actually doing something? Do they actually care? I think that would be a natural reaction or question to answer.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of what administration is in there and what their attitude is to the environment, there are still laws in this country. The laws didn't go away. They might not be forced, they might be kind of lax, but people can hold these companies accountable to the law. And we had numerous great conversations with the environmental projects manager at FERC that was in charge of Sable Trail. And you know, he wasn't the one that, you know, went rubber stamped, and he does work for that organization, but he was definitely cooperative to answer all of our questions, to let us know, give us pointers of what forms to fill out, what he's looking for, how we can better report these things so he can take action on them. And yes, he has definitely taken action, and they take action in the form of fines against the pipeline construction companies, and they can make them go fix their mess that they left behind, and that that only hits them in their pockets, you know, because these investors, they want to spend X amount for the section to pipeline so they can make money. But when they get the reports back, oh, and it cost them a lot more because of the fines, hopefully that can deter them from investing in more pipelines. And also in delays in time loss too, because some of these violations are that they have to have proper signage at all their sites. So if their signs got blown down, knocked down by the wind, or just not present, they have to go back and rehang all their signs. Signs like, and this is a wetland, alerting all the workers that there's a wetland there, they can't refuel in the wetlands. That's one of the things that we have to keep our eyes on, making sure that they're not refueling in the wetlands. Also, if mud on the street is another big violation, they can't drag their construction debris and mud and different things out onto the roadway. And if they do, we can call it in and we make them clean it up. So there's a number of things we can report, and that is really being proactive. And I feel that can empower a lot of people, and people wonder, well, what can I do? You know, beyond holding a sign and showing my opposition, we can go out to these construction sites. As long as we don't trespass on their easement, we can stand in all public areas. We even made use of a drone as well. It's that the drones have been our big allies in this. And take pictures, and the knowing what to look for, what they can be fined for, and what they need to fix, take the pictures, fill out the proper form, and send them to FERC, and you can even send them to Army Corps or the state's DEP, just to send them to a number of different organizations. But I know FERC in particular has been very cooperative in this effort.
Well, my curiosity is, why are people so, I don't know, I think it's uncaring, or they don't take action? I mean, there's been information out about Flint, Michigan. You know, we've seen pictures of the water, and we've seen people say here to the, you know, the administration here, why don't you drink it? And yet nothing seems to be done. I think when we see stuff like this overall, people are saying we can't do anything. So, I mean,
there's
how
a lot
do you
that can
give
be done.
Positive reinforcement? Go ahead.
You know, that there is something that is amazing happened in Flint. There was a new camp that was just planted there, Camp Promise. So anytime that you might see, you know, something going on, that we're, you know, there's always on the other side of the coin a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. And I think it goes back to the question of how do we deal with negative people and or apathetic people. We just don't. So once you go out and do this, you make the decision, you're going to work for life, you're going to meet all those positive, great people that are working on these issues and do care a whole lot, and you're going to connect with them. And they're out there, we're out there, we're here, and we're doing everything that possible that we can do that needs done. And I know as long as we keep that positive mindset, we will win, because we're right, because that life is worth protecting. And I think people do have a sense of that once they see that something can be done.
Yeah, I think that's important, because I know all the media, I mean, anything I've seen, is all so negative. I've rarely, mm-hmm. until I got myself involved in this, do I see anybody saying, hey, we actually accomplished something. And we made movement against, you know, the issue of the, you know, polluted waters. Everything you mm-hmm. see are these scenarios of people going against the government, and the government just turning around like, yeah, right, or business saying, yeah, right. So how, I mean, all right, we have these radio shows, but how can we get that message out to more people? I mean, I've seen some of the pictures on that GoFund, which I'm going to put on my, you know, radio page. When people think of Florida, they think of sun and sand and, you know, vacation, and you see what's really happening there, and they're going, oh my God, is this Florida?
Yeah.
People don't see those pictures.
Well, remember, too, that when we're looking at media, when we're taking in media, media is designed to keep us in fear and to keep us in the state of hopelessness, so we don't take action and we don't assert the real power that we do have as people. So always there's good things going on at the same time that we see this other stuff. So it's like just some great news that I just learned yesterday, that the Northern Access pipeline, you know, it seems like all these pipelines are being rubber stamped, but Northern Access pipeline is going to go from Pennsylvania through New York and into Canada. That's been stopped. The state of New York just stopped that. So there's always, and if you look for it, there's always good news. You just keep your eyes open, and there's always great things going on and good things happening.
Has anybody just developed like a newsletter or something that could say, oh, we'll come back to this.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello. Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I had mentioned like a newsletter. I know all over the world, you know, I'll see things about destruction of lands and, you know, people trying to bomb people and all this other stuff. And I think people become so overwhelmed. They're numb. But I think in focusing, since we are in the States, if we can show as an example that people are saying, okay, let's, as individuals, let's make a difference in a peaceful way. We're not looking for a revolution, heaven forbid. We don't need more violence in the world. But if we can make a difference in a positive way, then I think other people throughout the world will be able to say, well, they can make a choice. So can we. We can fix up our problems like they're trying to fix their problems. And this goes through the ideas of education and making people aware. And I know myself, until I got involved, I knew nothing. So it was like a major eye-opener, like, where did this happen? You know, where was I all these years? So when I said newsletter, or is that something feasible that people could find out positive information, positive direction?
Yeah, and people have been hearing a lot from Jim Gray Wolf Petruzzi. He has the Water is Life movement. You can find them on Facebook, and you can find them on their website. That will definitely keep people up to date about a lot of things that are happening. And like I said, you know, mixed in with the stories of you know, the sort of quote-unquote bad things, there is always the good news every day. There are good things happening, and you'll see it. Just look for it. It's just as much as the, you know, unless you follow mainstream media, it's just as much as the, you know, the difficult and the bad news is that it's out there. There's good news happening every day. There's good things happening, and there's good, a lot of good people out at work in the world. We've seen them at Standing Rock. We've seen them now going all over the country and all over the world now, standing up, doing great things. So, so Water is Life movement is a great place to connect and to stay informed of things that are going on. And just look for independent media, like always. You know, we talked about how the mainstream media does have they do want us to be disempowered. They do want us reading constant fear, negativity, and all those things, so we have to look at this independent journalists that are showing us what's really happening on the ground. And when you're walking a path kind of in service to life and on this spiritual path, one of the most important things is being non-attached to outcome. So however this plays out, no matter what happens, we know that we're following our hearts, and we know that we're standing up for life and walking in prayer and doing the right things no matter what happens. So I couldn't be doing anything else myself, you know, sit back in apathy or any of that. I just have to continue to protect life and water.
So I like the one avatar that you have, defend the planet. Because I think this, you know, like I said, Standing Rock opened a door, opened people's eyes, and touched many hearts. Like I said, some good things happened, some bad things happened. I think the work wasn't completed, it was halted, a lot of things were left undone. But we learned from that. And then the water movement came. And, you know, this is evolving more into other options of people. I've seen many groups doing water healing, which is really purely energy work, and, you know, that awareness. And then people are interested in other parts of the earth about, you know, the bees was a big movement. So defend the planet or heal the planet is something that I think will evolve out of all these things, really. And it's just opening, Standing Rock opened people's eyes that they could actually, feel something, or like you said, not ignore it. It's not, you know, it was a thing that, well, just because it's on my backyard, I'm not going to let it bother me. So, you know, it was a good thing, and I think it's evolved even more. So, what
the people that were at Standing Rock, the people that were at Standing Rock, even though they were forced out, they were forced to not be at camp anymore, they didn't go away. They're still involved. They're still active. They're still in prayer. And they are going all over the place now, like seeds being planted. This is not over by a long shot. They think they can break up, you know, a couple of camps and the water protector movement is over. It's not over because the earth's still here. As long as the earth's still here, it will never be over. Standing Rock, it was the spark. It was the catalyst for all of these things that are happening now. And it's really joining into a movement that is joining in with the indigenous movement, who have been saying these things and doing these things and living, many of them were living in spiritual resistance for so many years. So it's joining into that spirit of resistance to all this. And I think that's what people's eyes were opened up to, to join in with that. So Standing Rock is not over, and we're all over the place now, and they can't stop us.
Well, that's positive in itself, because it gives people that sense of that if they do feel drawn to, like I said, be in service, you know, to make a choice, either to, you know, stop saying, well, I'm not involved, it's not affecting, you know, life's going to keep on going on, the water's always going to be there, and the bees are always going to be there, and the air is going to always be there. That they're saying, well, maybe I got to, you know, take a look at this. This is not as great as, you know, we think. You know, we pretty much mess things up, so it's time to clean things up. And people are afraid of making a stand, that they're not going to get anywhere. So when you put out this positive, okay, well, let's find answers. Let's come together and find answers. That was my whole big point of the people that are saying, and we find it all over, you know, you try to come together on something and there's always the people that poke at it and go, yeah, right. You know, the people that are poking, you know, you're involved in life too. You know, why waste your time, you know? You know, do something good. But that's education. That's where people like you and, you know, Jim and Sue and others and Adam are making a stand, and we're trying to bring you out and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it was good to hear that, you know, Washington, that it's not totally blown away. That, you know, if people aren't wasting their time, if they say, okay, I'm going to, you know, do this, only to find out that it's not effective. So
they told us, FERC told us that, yeah, so FERC told us that Sable Trail was being fined for violations we catch. Because like I said, no matter who's in office, who the administration is, whether they're friendly to the industry or whether they're not, there is still rule of law in the United States. So there are things that these construction companies have to follow. And even though they're not doing it and they're the only ones, kind of like the enforcement of it is lax, people can go out there and enforce these rules. And it's totally within our rights as citizens. And not only are we getting these companies' fines, not only are we delaying construction, we're documenting the evidence. So we have lists with thousands of violations and pictures of these violations. The attorneys with Sierra Club and others are currently looking at to bring up legal suits. So as long as there is evidence and pictures, that's something that people can definitely do to get out there and show the world what these pipeline companies are doing, so we don't have another, you know, devastation like what has happened in Florida. And it really is. And I was there for 2 months, and Florida's ecosystem and environment it has been in trouble for a long time, because I've been aware of the issues with the Everglades and things, but where the wetlands, where the pipelines were going through, that have been just drained, and they put sand dry sand over where these wetlands were. And it wasn't only the wetlands where the pipeline is going through, because when they start draining the pipelines, all the surrounding water, like people's backyard ponds and things, they were being drained as well, because it's, you know, water's all connected. So we have to bring this forward. And like I said, there's a website, wecan.me, that has a lot of pictures and video of what's been happening in Florida and some of the evidence, so that we can bring that forward. And just stay positive and stay at it and hold them accountable for what they've done.
What's interesting is all the environmental agencies in the government, and I'm not just talking about this administration, how could they be blindsided, if that's a good word? How could they honestly say, well, we didn't know? I mean, it just seems, I don't know, maybe I think that the government should know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they don't have any inspectors on the ground when there's a hiring freeze, they just aren't staffed enough to know what's happening, and they're trusting the pipeline companies to kind of enforce and monitor themselves. So that's why it's critical right now that water protectors stand up and be the eyes and ears on the ground and show not just the government, but show everybody else out there what's happening, and get those pictures, get that evidence, get that documentation, and spread the word. That's what we need to be doing right now. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is important, because it shows an individual that, you know, from what I'm saying, you know, you just decided, okay, I got, for my own, oh, here we go again. Welcome back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Hey, this is Reva McIntyre, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you hanging in on the whole show here. this was important information. It's, you know, for people to see that just someone makes a decision to do something, and this is within everybody's power to do something. They just have to, you know, stop feeling feeding into the negativity and say, you know, if we destroy this planet, it doesn't matter about politics or money or anything, that there's just nothing left. So, you know, let's make a decision on something to get involved in something as far as the planet's needs, whether it's the water, etc. So hearing someone say, I chose to do something, and other people are willing to do something. So let's I'm from New Jersey. How would somebody start something in New Jersey?
Well, we know in New Jersey there is a pipeline going through, and there is a camp up, I guess, near New York, a Sweetwater camp, getting connected and supporting the good people that are there, and learning how to what to look for, to go out and you don't have to be full time. Understand people work and their families to take care of and things, but you know, if you can go out to, if you live close to the construction sites or where they're putting these pipelines through, if you can go out on the weekend and take pictures, you know, learn what to look for take pictures, capture it, and fill out the proper forms and send it in to FERC. This is something that's definitely within everybody's power to do if they wanted to stand up. But first, I would say, you know, find the local camp or local groups that are working on these the different pipelines and get involved with them.
Would you say the average person would just have to approach Google and look for something, or is there a glossary?
No, what they can do, yeah. I have an email address, and I specifically want to meet with people in Pennsylvania, in West Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan. And we're all these pipelines, I guess New Jersey too, anywhere there's a pipeline currently proposed or under construction. And if they want to learn how to identify and what to look for and what forms to file and you know where to send those off to, my email is wpviolationstraining@gmail.com.
All right. Like I said, later, if you send me that link, I'll put it on that radio page, you know, underneath the promo for this so that, you know, we can have, I always like to have some written information where people can follow up that, you know, if you spur something in them, which is wonderful, they need a place to, you know, move this energy. So, send that to me later if you would.
Yeah. So, and it's so important right now to support the camps.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize it. I think they figured, well, once standing camp, you know, dissolved or, you know, disbanded, the government said, whatever reason, you know, it was sort of like
forced out at gunpoint.
Universal. Yeah, it was one of these universal, you know, knocks in the head, you know, like, okay, we got this far and, you know, things didn't go the way exactly we wanted to, but maybe we'll inspire some other things. And we can see how that develops. People are being inspired.
Mm-hmm. So the Chetty camp, the Chetty Sakaween, it was an amazing, that camp was an amazing place. And it was a place that many people made connections and just shared that energy, that like I said, the spirit of resistance that will be shared there. But like I said, because they were forced out does not mean it's over. There were seeds. Everybody who's been there, it was like at one point up to 10,000 people. Those people are still around and they still care. Just because they can't be on that particular piece of land doesn't mean we're all done and we give up. They've migrated into other camps and other projects and they're just seeds planted everywhere now.
That's really important to know. It really is, because I think it was such a disappointment toward the end when, you see, again, that word violence. But I think those violence, again, was that head up, sets up trigger by the universe and say, okay, people, okay, souls, are you going to let this happen, or are we going to inspire you to continue? It's been a positive
The indigenous
movement.
People, the indigenous people have been dealing with this same stuff for over 500 years. They haven't gone anywhere. They're still here. So just because one of their camps are closed, it doesn't mean that they're gone. They've gone through a lot in history. So it's, like I said, it's not over.
And like I said, I think the general populace has learned a lot from it, because even though there were times that, you know, people were against it, or there were times that, you know, marketing media tried to take advantage, you know, of it to spur people on, you know, for their own whatevers, I think people are wise enough really right now to be discerning. And that's why some people get paranoid. They're saying, well, you know, why bother? You know, we saw this, no one accomplished anything. But to hear you and others say it's not over, that the seeds have been planted, you know, it's just a good positive thought. You know, you're approaching people, because we have to fix our own mess first. And then other countries, I think, will be inspired to try to fix theirs. You know, like you said, we can't fix everything in the world. We're pretty messed up ourselves. I'm beginning to see.
You wouldn't believe how much attention this has got in Europe. Like when I was at Crystal Water Camp, we had so many messages that were sent to our Facebook page all the time from people who from in Europe that have been watching, and they have been having solidarity actions, and this is global, because the fracking and what's going on with our water is global. It's not just happening here in the U.S. It's everywhere, and people are aware. So, people, our eyes are open and have been opening to it. And just, we're so blessed that the indigenous people are still here, and they're still fighting for Mother Earth, and have opened our eyes to the truth.
Yeah, I think people are going back to the, as we call, the ancestors. As you say, the indigenous people all over the world, whether it's in Hawaii or, you know, New Zealand or Australia or, you know, wherever within, you know, Europe, people are starting to feel that connection and saying the Earth was created in a pristine, it used to be beautiful waters, and, you know, like, we've messed it up. We really have. But
we've certainly been out of balance for a long time.
We can clean it up.
Yeah, we've been out of balance with ourselves, out of balance with the Earth, out of balance with other people. But we can get in balance. And, you know, it starts with us. It's all individual. And it's getting our own connection with Mother Earth, and making that right in our connection with ourselves and our connection with everybody else out there, getting that right. We can all do that. And like I said before, it comes down to non-attachment to outcome. Not be, you know, if I won't do this, if I don't think it will do any good, if I don't think it will change, I just won't do it. But it won't happen. Nothing will change if we don't do it. So either there's a chance for change, a big chance, that if we take action, or, you know, we don't take action and nothing does change. So be on the side of positive action.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I've seen a lot of young people all over the world, and even in our own country. They're like shaking their heads at the adults, you know, like, change needs to happen. You know, they're coming up with beautiful ideas. We're cleaning the environment. And as adults, we're just like, la-da-da here. So, you know, I think we need a good kick in the butt for positive action. And I know we're, you know, getting toward the end of the show, and I really appreciate you adding all the, you know, information. I know you were on the road, so that's why I said I really appreciate you coming on and talking, because it was a good pep talk. It really was, mm-hmm. you know, showing that we can actually do this. The only people that mm-hmm. stop us are ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you send me the, again, send me some links, information, and, you know, I'll put it on, you know, the radio page, because that's just totally dedicated, you know, to the Earth movement here. And let's get the information mm-hmm. out there. And I appreciate what you're mm-hmm. doing.
Thank you so much. You know, and you have the GoFundMe page, and it's so important that we be able to get to these places and all up and down the pipeline routes that would really help us, and to get to meet different groups of people to train and teach how to do this and get a lot of groups out on the pipeline reporting violations.
Yes, I mean, this is very much grassroots almost. You know, it's saying, you know, mm-hmm. people, you know, this country start getting off your butts.
Mm-hmm. Washington isn't going to change us. I think we've learned that election cycle after election cycle, Washington isn't going to change it. So the hope is with ourselves and with our communities.
And I think we really, really can do it. So like I said, later on, you know, when you get settled or during the week, then all the kind of GoFundMe links and everything else, and we'll get that out there next. And I really appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much.
And I said, world, we can really do this. Okay. All right, good night. Thanks so much.
Thank you.